It's inescapable. It's inescapable. But he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. We have need of patience, that after we have done the will of God, we might receive the promise. The just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. So we have to keep on keeping on, discouragement, trials, worry. I could tell you instant after instant, you have a big family. You have 8 children, 21 grandchildren, 7 great-grandchildren, and sisters and brothers and great-nephews and nieces around. Oh, no, not today. Another, one after another. You have to keep your hand clasped tenaciously in the hands of Jesus and look up. Ultimately, our redemption draweth nigh. They had many, many things I wanted to preach on, really. Many, many things. It's rather difficult for me to make any selection. Say, well, what are you going to preach about? My wife tells me. I tell her sometime, I don't know till I get to the church sometime. You may think that's a bold statement. That's a fact. And I don't know. And I don't chew the rag when I get up. It's going to be line upon line and precept upon precept. But I was meditating after his son left, went to the room. And I've seen many, many scriptures come. But then I remember having 150 sermons in print and wanted to get more. And your pastor looked on, oh, he saw a subject. And it came back to me, subject. So if you have your Bible, I want you to turn to the book of Isaiah. You got it? The 35th chapter of Isaiah. Oh, this is tremendous. Just to read it and just open and unfold its divine truths in all its majestic setting would bless anyone. And a highway shall be there and a way. And it shall be called, it's unmistakably clear, it shall be called holiness. So we can't ditch it. And said, it's not written there. And it said, the unclean, that is the sinner, the backslider, the rejecter, and those that said, I ain't going to do it. The unclean shall not pass over it. It shall not go there. Though the wayfaring man, though fool, shall not err therein. Regardless, you may claim people so stupid that they can't comprehend anything. They can make it. God will give them the ability. No line shall be there. No one is vicious element of people that's around. No ravenous beast shall go thereon. It shall not be found there. Well, like this. But the redeemed of the Lord shall walk there. And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come into Zion. Boy, with everlasting song, or with songs and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sadness shall flee away. Just now, first, just struck me with this. Blessed are they. Who are they? The faithful. So we can say the faithfulness of the righteous. Blessed are they who keep his commandments. That they may have right, the privileged characters. Right to what? To the tree of life. And they shall come into Zion, It takes you 3-4 steps. Ultimate. That's our ultimate goal, Zion. I want to speak very briefly, try to make it as comprehensive as possible, and project the truth so your mind and spirit can grasp the truth. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we indeed bless your holy name for the encouragement we receive from the Bible, that we don't have to be in a valley of despondency. We could ascend into the hills of the Lord, from whence cometh our help. And with a note of assurance, we could say, our help cometh from the Lord. And we thank you for the promises in the Bible, all yea and amen to him that believeth. Open our eyes that we may see all of the good things that you stored up for your people to eat, to be fed, and not to hunger or thirst anymore for truths and gospel facts. Open our eyes now as we meditate upon this. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. If you tell me that holiness is popular, I'd have to shrug my shoulders and nod my head. I don't suppose. And you too don't suppose. Holiness is not popular. It never was popular. And it never will be popular till Jesus returns a second time without sin unto salvation. Then, as it is given vivid description, and the trees of the field shall clap the hand in the pots and pan, shall be inscribed holiness unto the Lord. When Jesus tread the dusty shores of Galilee and forge into Jerusalem and Judea, reflecting the divine image of God his Father, remember, he was despised and rejected. And if they despise and reject you, to be sure, if they rejected him, they will, in a measure, reject you. If you follow the pattern of the Bible long enough, you would readily detect that holiness from infancy has always been a subject of controversy. Of all the full gospel, so to speak, always adding to or subtracting from. And when I approach the individual and ask, I'm never argumentative, I will never debate, I will never discuss the Bible. Never. Never. But when someone asks you a question, and they're forthright, I say, well, you just have to examine the Bible. I said, oh, incidentally, have you ever read the Bible through? Well, no. I said, and the New Testament. Yes, I remember reading it once. Well, where you get all the information from? Who's instructing you? Who's teaching you? You can all get these precious nuggets as you extract them from the place where God keeps the resources for his one. Now, you know this brand today, hoop-hoop-hooray. But when the battles come and the challenges are made, you can't withstand the pressure. I was in Ruston, Louisiana, preaching, and I was dealing with a lady, and I was trying to get her to really ground her beliefs upon the Bible. And she said, I look so... I said, what is it? She said, I want feeling. I said, feeling. Feeling. And I gave an illustration between faith and feeling. I had to instruct that woman. She thought religion was made up a lot of gusto, you know, hoop, hoop, hooray. But you got to settle on your respective home. When I had 8 children, went to church, come home, it wasn't a good seesaw, you know, it's called well balance. You have your difficulties, periods of correction and reprimanding. You just live under pressure and tension. But to regain your balance and equilibrium, your trust must be in Christ. Faith unchangeable, faith unwavering in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it's always been a subject of controversy. But needless to say, we'll have to hold firm and establish a fact, it shall be called holiness. Now, you know, as I do, it's always been branded with various nicknames, such as holy rollyism, fanaticism, etc. But that doesn't shake me in the least. I just keep on keeping on. Amen. Never being bombastic and never laboring them as some off-brand offshoot of something. You can expect that as long as you breathe Christianity. Then, as you know, as well as I know, holiness has always a minority on his side. Oh, you can count the people that's in a holy crowd. We've always been a minority when Jesus was on earth. It wasn't the majority that followed him. It was a small minority. But he influenced that minority to be steadfast and to stand fast and proclaim unhaltingly the fine facets of the scriptures. It's always been the minority. That's the reason why we should stand forth and hold fast and continue steadfast in the doctrine of Christ. Now let's go into the scripture. Now, highway shall be there, and a way in it shall be called. It describes the blessing. Notice, it shall be called. Now, if you study a Bible from Genesis through Revelation, you'll find established throughout the Bible, holiness is clear. Sometimes there's a veil on it. You just can't seem to readily comprehend from Egypt to crossing the Red Sea and Jordan. There are many analogies that you just, your growth is not as fast to hold on to them and comprehend them. But in the sweet by and by, as you begin to mature and you begin to read and begin to assimilate the Bible, you'll say, I see, it's clear as a noonday sun. So we can say it's not a theory or a design theology that perhaps have been taught in our colleges, in our Bible school, and in our seminaries. You could take and study the nature of it. You come up with the conclusion that even as God designed and fashioned this world in 6 days, and he set aside the day and made it holy, just like anything else in his creation. When he set up the temple and the priests were separated and segregated from the common areas of work to be used specifically for temple worship, and they were separated and sanctified and made holy to present the laws of Almighty God concerning the Sabbath, and even the vessels of the tabernacle. They were gorgeous vessels, silver of all designs. And yet those vessels was taken out of common everyday usage and used specifically in temple worship. Study the nature of it, and you pretty soon know It shall be called holiness. Let's hurry. And the redeemed of the Lord shall walk thereon, and the ransom of the Lord shall come. Now, if anyone studies the word redeem, ransom, redemption, you'll soon find out it is twofold in its nature. I remember when I was striving to get saved or praying through. Only later I learned that all the acts of my sins had to be forgiven, pardoned. And later on in Austin, Texas, under a strong holiness preacher, I realized my nature needed cleansing. Why? Because even after conversion, there remained some residue, some inclination to commit sin, unless it's overpowered by the Holy Ghost, may produce actual sin. Or the man said, I guess I never did get grounded. Consequently, they sin against light and the Bible. So even after conversion, as Paul said, to will it is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. It is no more I, but sin, S-I-N, principle, that it could not ward it off. So there must be that separation from sin. Take the 7th chapter, Corinthians said, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Who Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might cleanse us from all sin and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good work. Pardon and cleansing, the conjunction, and two, confessing our sins, and he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then when you reach that far up the line, then you realize there must be that all-out dedication or consecration to the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll find throughout the Bible as you go, you must place yourself on God's altar. Notice the Bible. He has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy. Now, I'm going to make some bold assumption. I'm going to assume tonight that everyone here is saved. You know it. The witness of God bears witness with your spirit that you are the child of God. You're regenerated. You're born again. Let me say that the bestowal of holiness, like any other of God's gifts, are continual, condition upon the wholehearted cooperation of everyone to be benefited by. If I'm going to benefit from God's gift, I must in compliance to and submission to the will of God that I might receive it. As one said, here I give my all to thee, friends and talent and earthly store, soul and body wholly thine. Yes, it goes like that, wholly thine. Or he said, Savior, to thee my soul looks up. In all the confidence of hope, I claim the blessing now. I tell you, that comes with a lot of force and inspiration. You're saved. Let's assume then you're saved. The first thing, when you all know you're saved, conviction. You realize, why is it? To will it is spread will be, but how to perform that which you do not find not. It is no more I, but sin that dwelleth with me. O wretched man, O wretched woman I am. Who shall deliver me? Who shall deliver me? Go on and on, you'll find that unless you feel a hungering and thirst after it. And then secondly, there's that renunciation. Giving up anything or everything that is diametrically opposed to the will of God. And you know it, and you alone know what you're clinging to, what you're holding on. And then thirdly, there is that clear defined word of consecration. Here I give myself to thee, and in faith lift up your eyes. God said, my beloved son or daughter, he'll give it to you. Then thirdly, the redeemer of the Lord, secondly. And thirdly, and they who, the redeemed, the ransom, that have met the requirement, shall come into Zion with songs and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. It seemed as though it speaks powerfully, a place of lasting peace, a haven for God's people. Be made free from sin, you have your fruits unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. You ever read that glowing part, that we might serve him in righteousness and holiness all the days of our lives, to the end. He might establish you unblameable in holiness before God. It is very evident, nothing short of God's best, if we give him our best. If you're not acquainted with the city of New Orleans, if you want to make any visits around the United States, they're going to have what we term on the riverfront. They have a river walk, and they had a big Jack's Brewer that was converted into a place where people visit. They have all sorts of things to sell. And they're going to have a big, what do you call it, aquarium? Yeah. They're getting big, monstrous fish in a building on a riverfront. And they have a river walk. You can walk for miles and see the tremendous boats in the Mississippi River. Sightly. I go about this French Quarter. It's an element of people you wouldn't associate with. There's places, the park, the ornament park, city park, tremendous places to see. Well, when in the 20s, I'll say back in the 20s, I used to sell fruits and vegetables with one of my cousins. I had to yell out and jump on the wagon while that wheel's going around, you know, and stand on it and hop on a seat. In those days, even the fire truck run by a big steed. Big horses. We used to wait for the gown and watch the big, beautiful horses dash. And even the moving wagons. They had moving wagons, no trucks. Well, when they had a funeral, the old hearse was drawn by a wagon and horse. And I could watch some of those Negro funerals. I tell you, it's amusing. It seemed like before the casket, they have a group of mourners, and then back of the casket they have instrumentalists and all the people marching. They start from miles away, maybe 5 miles. I still can hear them grunt, they just walk. And someone visits and says, hey, what's going on? I said, you haven't heard? They're going to the cemetery. They've grunting and groaning. And they've gone from side to side. Finally, they reach the cemetery. They said, now what? Well, haven't you heard? They go and bury the old man. Home? And as they get there, they form a semicircle. And the old parson get up and say, earth to earth and dust to dust. And they have to announce the benediction. Guess what? They clap. When the saints go marching home, when the saints go marching home. And I tell you, say, what's that? Well, haven't you heard the old man is dead and buried? Now they're headed home. And there's a striking analogy that being made free from sin, or you crucified with Christ, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we no longer serve sin. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The old man must be put to death. Knowing this, that an old man must be put to death. That's precisely what's required in the Bible. It speaks as the old man. Unless that old man had conscious of sin deliberately against light and truth, as so recorded in the Bible, you can get victory. Your name can be inscribed on the Lamb's Book of Life. And when the last trumpet shall blast, the dead in Christ shall rise and they'll go. Singing and everlasting joy shall be on their head. No frowns, no defeats, no frightened people. And said, my God, I missed it. I had a chance. I felt the tug. I felt the wooing of Jesus, and I resisted. I pulled back. The grave was there. The burial could have taken place. I could have died and was dead and buried before I enjoyed that glorious resurrection to ever be with Christ. Have you been sanctified since you believe? Does the Spirit control your very being? Do you really belong to Christ? He totally, the Trinity of man, body, soul, and spirit. You can know it. You can know it. I find today that not too many people are hungering and thirsting after God's best. And it's all set forth in the Sacred Bible. I don't know why. Is it lack of reading your Bible? You have to spend time. You have to devote time. Of all the things happening, try to brush it aside. Fall on your knees and just present yourself to Christ. Say, Christ, I just can't take it unless you undertake for me. I want to grow. I want to be more like Jesus. You can, if you so desire. Shall we pray? Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. I don't know if you've ever been sanctified. I don't know if you ever sought after the blessing. I don't know if you've ever been compelled to live close to Jesus and just die out to any opinion or anything of that nature, that Christ, here I am. Just as I am, make me white than snow. I've been yours once. I backslid over the element of some people that didn't use wisdom. That don't mean a thing. I don't think people intend. I know a young lady. If you're sworn, you think you're scolding somebody, and people resent it. But I said, if you know this young lady, it's not her intention to hurt you. It's just her makeup, her idiosyncrasy. She just can't help it. We have to tolerate each other and love each other and strive with each other to make it. How many say, Brother Bob, I've never been sanctified. I never had experience of holiness, but I want to. Oh, I'm in a backslider. And I know I'm going to have to come by the way of the cross. And I want you to pray for me. And I'll remind you, before we leave in the morning, we'll be praying, and on the road, we'll be praying. I wonder if you'd just lift your hand and say it to that effect.